Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, Gina.
Hi, Ione. Hi, everyone. I'm Gina, the senior editor of Polyester.
And I'm Ione, the founding editor-in-chief of Polyester. And this is the Polyester Podcast, a feminist pop culture podcast dissecting the discourse on a weekly basis.
Before we start, if you're a fan of this podcast, please make sure to like, rate and subscribe. And if you really love us, you can sign up for a podcast membership where you can join our WhatsApp and get on our Instagram close friends for only £3 a month. Do we have any reviews, Ione?
We do. 5 stars, love this podcast. This podcast is so well researched and always has really nuanced takes that don't feel like they're just regurgitating what everyone else is saying about pop culture. Love that there's disagreement and discussion. Poor Things episode was especially good and got me hooked. That is by Liz Taylor. Wow.
The Liz Taylor.
In Great Britain.
Liz, where you been?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to Liz Taylor. It could be Iz Taylor as well.
Izzy Taylor.
Yeah. But either or, thank you very, very much.
Thank you to both Liz and Iz.
What are we talking about today, G?
We're talking about Afe. No, we're not. We're talking about AI girlfriends.
We are talking about AI girlfriends. So 2 weeks ago, on April 14th, there was a viral tweet by @prince_of_fakes, and his like username is bri.ai, that said AI women are women. And it was basically a video, which I'm not sure if anyone else has seen, they probably have, that is clearly AI generated. That's like a childhood kind of looking bedroom, or at least like a young adult bedroom. And it's like a succession of women, young women. And it's like, no, or like swipe left, or whatever. Or like, no. As it like goes through all these different women, basically. And then, do you want to tell us what happens next?
No, you can't.
I really don't want to, can you?
Yeah, let me get it. I've not watched it since I watched it. And then it... Sorry. And then it pans to what looks like a projector, but then when you hone in on what it is, it's actually like a big robotic box with like a silicone, like the kind of like see-through silicone that dildos are made out of, but like a fleshlight, so like a hole in a cyborotic box for you to shove your knob in. And then it's like, now you get to swipe left. Orifice AI is so like generated for incels, like, who have always been like ignored on dating apps.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now you get to choose who you fuck, and who you will choose will be this box that you put your dick in.
So one of the articles about this was on Friday Things. Of all the things we could be using AI for, this might be the most stupid, by Stacey Lee Kong. It's basically going into it. So this video just kind of appeared, seemingly an advert for an AI-enabled sex toy that allows men to create a virtual girlfriend and then have sex with her. And then the author has said, and I say purportedly very deliberately, as I'm not actually convinced it's a real product, which I actually definitely agree with. Like, I feel like this is trolling, no?
Yeah, I think, or it's like trying to like, you know, like when people like gauge the interest for something before they actually bother to make it.
He's like Elizabeth Holmesing it.
Yeah.
Just pretending it exists.
Because like, if you go on the website, like, and she says this in the article, like, it doesn't really, it's not polished or anything. Like, it's the sort of thing that you take to, not even take it to Dragon's Den. Like, you'd be...
Fucking hell, not the AI girlfriend flashlight appearing in front of Peter Jones and fucking... What's his name? Stephen, you know, the guy.
Yeah,
the millennial millionaire. What's
the
he called?
Millennial millionaire. So it wasn't the everyone... CEO. He's the one who invented Huel.
Oh, I just think he... I don't even think he invented Huel. I think he just advertises it.
He was just there.
I genuinely don't think he invented anything. I don't even know what he invented, but I think he just does loads of like SmonCon because he does it for the Zoe app as well.
And he invented orifice.ai, apparently.
Don't, allegedly.
He's going to put
allegedly.
Gina's starting a vicious rumour.
Gina's fan fiction. Yeah, so she points out that this is purportedly, like, it's not necessarily, like, we have no proof that this product actually exists apart from this video and a website, which, like, in the wake of AI is so easy to create. Like, I can make a website and a video in a matter of probably, like, an hour for, like, any
5 minutes, I was going to say.
Batshit idea. I think the website bit would be where I'd be spending the majority of the hour.
You're good at making a website.
Thank you. And then I thought it was really interesting because she goes, why are we using technology to solve problems that technology itself has played a role in creating? And I thought that was, like, especially poignant. Like, we've lost intimacy or lost our empathy for each other or like, in-person relationships. And then we're trying to, like, recreate that physical connection with people through more robotics.
I think you're missing a point here. So then there's a... the guy who did the tweet has kind of put a justification underneath, which is very like incel adjacent ramblings and doesn't mean anything, but it reads as, the relationship between women and men is broken. The data shows that, dot. Everyone knows it, dot. The top 20% in the gene pool don't care, dot. They're not caring is genetic warfare, which is like crazy to incite warfare considering that everything that is going on at the moment.
Yeah, gene warfare is absolutely mental thing to say, especially because that already exists.
Yeah. All social action taken against orifice, all protest, be it in the form of tweet or article or legislation, will be gene warfare. Everything comes down to reproduction, and we're going to take non-reproductive sex with human women off the table as a commodity. It's gone. Can't trade money for it, can't trade a meal for it. You could spend hours contemplating the consequences of that. Good, bad. It's going to end crime. It's going to wipe out job functions. But why? Because sex is about reproduction and everything breaks when you break that. Our roles don't make sense. Our institutions don't make sense. Nothing makes sense. When men stop seeking non-reproductive sex from human women, it's going to lead to an increase in reproductive sex and it's going to save the world. So I think this is kind of like linking back to the fact that there's obviously declining birth rates. We're becoming, like, we're having less babies. There's loads of reason for that. And for me, I read this as the implication is that, like, women are having sex for pleasure, not for their purpose of reproduction, all in inverted commas. But then it seems like the author took a different take from it. Because she then says, the premise of this product is bizarre, cis and heteronormative and doesn't seem to have involved any conversation with actual human women who also enjoy and seek out sex that's not for reproductive purposes, by the way. Because for me, that read as like, women just want to have sex, but like, we're just going to make them be like the animals and the machines they are because we can just get orgasms anywhere. Which also is just true from masturbating, like, just have a wank then.
Yeah, I think I see it from both sides, like, what you're saying I agree with, but I also think, like, these are the men that don't actually have conversations with real-life women, and, like, that's somewhat so much of the incel rhetoric is, and that's kind of, like, why I found the internet lost this, like, intimacy point really interesting, because, like, once you go back into the real world and, like, touch grass, like, incel rhetoric can't really apply, and it's really sad that we're seeing so many Gen Z men actually trying to apply it in real life, like, in schools and stuff. But I do think it's born of the internet. Like, I think the incel, like, manifesto and, like, things like that can only have, like, come about because of how far internet discourses and, like, niche spaces of the internet have been allowed to, like, breathe these, like, really toxic anti-women spaces. And I think, like, that's why I kind of understood her being, like, this take that non-reproductive sex with human women needs to be eradicated could only really come from someone who's like that deep in on the internet and like only see women as reproductive sex machines. Like they don't understand that pleasure comes from it. But then I think your point is also really like true as well. Like they're just trying to like get rid of women, be able to use sex as power.
But then, no, it's not even about power. It's just about pleasure. Like they're basically just trying to like demean women into their like core biological purpose, which in their mind is reproduction and like all that other stuff. But I think what I mean by like you've missed the point is that they're not trying to solve the, like, they're not going, oh, we don't have intimacy, we don't have like meaningful relationships, because they're the people that perpetrate this anyway. Like their problem is that there's a declining birth rate, their solution is we start using women as objects again.
Yeah, but
and
I think
creating objects.
I think they're fucked because they haven't had any intimacy.
Yeah, yeah, but as in you can't ask the people that are the problem to solve it.
I don't think they should be solving it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that they, like, the way the internet has caused them to think that they can solve it through their own means.
No, I just think it's like two separate conversations, really.
Well, I think it's they're both combined.
Not really, though.
Well, it is.
How?
Because it's all like, how is it not?
Because these people are saying we just want to cut women out of the equation entirely. You're saying that there's an issue that we don't have, like, intimacy and, like, meaningful intimate relationships, like, across men and women because men are being, like, duped by all of this. Which is true, like, one problem feeds into the other. But men, that it's not a part of incel rhetoric that they're saying we want intimacy, we want, like, a cuddle.
I don't think
nice.
That they want intimacy, but I think they would benefit from intimacy. And if they had it, like, we're off the internet more, they wouldn't believe this kind of stuff because they will have interacted with the real world.
I agree with that, but I also think that there's a part of it where it's like, why does it constantly have to be people, like, educating or re-educating men that are just, like, completely fucking misogynist and evil and, like, see women as objects? Like, I it's kind of giving Manic Pixie Dream Girl a bit of, like, all he needs is the
It's like, he doesn't need the love and care of a good woman. I think that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying, like, if they'd never lost having human connection with other people, and part of human connection is with any gender.
But they have human connection amongst each other, and they use it for, like, the most brain rot things you can think of.
I don't think they have connection with each other. I think they all fucking hate each other.
Why?
Because they do, like, the way they see each other is competition. Like, there's something later on where they're like, it says, oh, let me try and find it in the research. It's like, yeah, it says, like, reading conversations on these forums, men frequently reveal that much of this hatred is actually fear of one type or one another. They fear that they do not measure up against other men, that women will leave and humiliate them. And that's from, by Heather Parry on Electric Dreams on Sex, Robots, and the Failed Promises of Capitalism. Like, they see, because they've, like, reduced it down to so many different things, I feel like they just see each other as competition as well. There's, like, solidarity there, but I don't think there's intimacy there at all. Mm-hmm. They're missing out on having, like, human connection with anyone. Like, you can be a part of a group, like, you can be part of the incel group without actually caring about each other. They're just trying to, like, and they've made these, like, fucking warped causes that, like, let's bring back reproduction.
Yeah, but I think also something that feeds into, like, the AI girlfriend of it all is, like, the gamification of relationships and reproduction, because, like, if you think about it, reproduction is something that has, like, a beginning, a middle, and the end.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very clear, like, path to something, whereas, like, relationships aren't really like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously, they can be traditionally with, like, marriage and settling down with each other forever or whatever, but that's, like, less relevant in our, like, modern world. So instead, they've gone back to this thing, which is, like, child rearing and how they can have sex. But even, like, the idea of having an AI girlfriend that's, like, computer generated is very, like, gamified, and that you can, like, win by, like, doing these certain things, and, like, you're getting something over on, like, a woman by taking stuff away from her. Like, you can no longer trade sex for food is an insane thing to say.
Yeah, I know, but it's so true. And they're like, the, like, whole rhetoric being like, women will, like, match with, like, the alpha, and he'll take her on a date, and, like, she'll reward him with sex because he's, like, the top 20% of men. But if a beta cuck takes a woman on a date, he has to take her for a 3-course dinner, and he has to do four times, and he's also got a looks max. And then when he's achieved all these goals, once he's beat all the, like, fucking my little bosses, he gets to have the final boss, which is an orgasm. It's so embarrassing. Like, it's so, like, fucked, like, the logic of it. And, like, you're right, like, and then even, like, connect it with, like, gaming culture, but it is literally, like, the need to win.
What was that Reddit post we were talking about the other day as well, which was like, it was one of those, like, Twitter ones, like, am I the asshole? And it was saying how this guy was like, oh no, I've made my wife hate me because of, like, Menosphere podcasts, and I don't know what to do. So she had a baby, and then, like, 6 months in or whatever, she, like, really noticed how, like, that the guy wasn't participating in parenthood, like, wouldn't feed it in the night, wouldn't pick it up, like, wasn't bonding with it at all. Whatever.
The price.
I don't know the gender of the baby.
The baby.
And so she's like, look, why don't you like your baby?
Look, why do you like your baby? Put a lot of effort into that.
And he was like, oh, I just think you need to get a paternity test. Like, I don't feel like I can bond with it until I have a paternity test. And she was like, what? Why? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, oh no, I've heard on podcasts that like every man should, because it's like a menosphere thing of like, yeah. Oh yeah, every, you should get a paternity test no matter what. And so she was like, okay. Because obviously she was like shell shocked.
Yeah, she also like probably sleep deprived, yeah, sleep and just deprived, like, oh, whatever, like, yeah, fine.
And then it came back and it was obvious that it was his, and then she just went, right, fuck you then, and moved out.
Yeah, of course you were.
So like people, yeah, it's like, I understand your point of that, like, men that divulge in this like discourse and community online definitely see their real lives deteriorate, like even if they are in a position where they are married and have kids. But I also think on like the gamification side of things, it's interesting because in the research which C. Hump did, it obviously says that like AI girlfriends are kind of not a real thing, and they are embedded in pop culture, and they're also very embedded in like boy pop culture, dare I say. Like, I'm not saying the girlies don't like Ex Machina, but
I loved Ex Machina.
Primary
the
audience.
Only good thing Alex Garland's done.
And then Blade Runner, Austin Powers, obviously, like, yeah, the fembots, like Westworld. We've had these kind of like cultural moments throughout like our life and like throughout mid-20th century to 20th, right?
The mid-20th century to the 21st century.
Yes. That is just showing that like, oh yeah, at some point you're going to be able to have like an unautonomous girlfriend who exists to serve your needs. So this is something that's very much like embedded in pop culture.
Yeah.
And as women become like increasingly autonomous, especially through like the lens of the internet, where a lot of the incel trappings is that they think that women are like entirely liberated because the internet exists.
Or like privileged above men.
Yeah, then. Exactly. That becomes like more of a thing people want. And so, but it's interesting because the piece goes on to argue that the promise of sex robots is actually not materialized, even as like we're paying more attention to it in the real world. And it seems like the technology is kind of coming into focus. One 2022 report puts the value of the sex bot industry at about 200 million. But says the average price of a sex bot is 3.5k, so 56,000 units of sex bots are sold every year. But it also says that they're just like weird, like they're not good, like they're very uncanny valley. They're not offering like a like for like replacement. But I think we also have media that shows that men don't even necessarily care about a like for like replacement. Like, I know obviously this is like meant to be somewhat self-referential and stuff, but Her shows that.
Yeah,
like, I the also think can like just fall in love with Scarlett Johansson's voice.
Incels are mental. Like, do not think, like, we also don't have teleportation. Nobody's, like, half a dog. Like, it's such, like, a fixation on sex. Like, I just, and if that kind of fixation from sex does only happen from virgins, I'm sorry. Like, it really does. And then I was, like, thinking, I was, like, it's so funny that, like, and even including those films as reference that you said, like, whenever women make sex toys, they're always, like, pink and sparkly and fun. And then when men make sex toys, they're fucking harrowing. Like, they're really horrible. They really, like, bring into you, like, questions of, like, self and, like, morality and, like, what do... It just really makes you, like, worry, like, what do men actually want and get
that's
out of sex?
That's gamification again, like...
No, honestly.
And on that note, let's take our
mid-roll break.
Ad break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay, and we're back. So I thought another interesting but unsurprising thing was that when it comes to AI researchers, most of them are men. Women make up just 27% of the industry, according to a 2022 Concordia University study. Surprising to no one. Like back in the day being like a year and a half, 2 years ago, we did a podcast episode on how all like virtual assistants and stuff are female. And it seems like inevitable that in a patriarchal society, men will try and find ways to write women out of it.
I agree. I think it's so unsurprising that the people, but like people, like, what am I trying to say? You know, like the bias behind all technology will always come back to this, isn't it? Like, what is the person making technology going into it, not only with conscious bias, but subconscious bias?
Well, that was an interesting point in the research as well, which was from Electric Dreams on Sex Robots and the Failed Promises of Capitalism by Heather Parry, which is a book from this year. She says that technology is not inherently heteropatriarchal. It's a tool, a way of doing things, and it's neither moral nor immoral. Capitalist patriarchy is hurting men, and when men are hurt, they are more likely to hurt women. And it's true, like, I think, especially because we are in the group that is, like, marginalised and can see how tech is kind of been skewed to work against us, we find it really hard to think of it as an objective tool. Like maybe objective's the wrong word, but it's basically like a clean slate. It's like a wall. You can either write like sexist something on it or like a girl power thing on it, but the wall is just the wall.
Yeah, that's the like crux of cyberfeminism, isn't it? Like using this tool to like disrupt and like make things better for women rather than like allowing it to be, like, men are going to use the tool.
Mm-hmm.
We should also be using the tool for, like, our own benefit. Where's the AI boyfriend? Where is my AI boyfriend?
Well, there is an AI boyfriend. I can't remember. I haven't gotten to the bottom of the research yet because it's so good. But, oh, here. So it was on Arabelle Sicardi's Substack. Virtual boyfriends are now La Mer influencers, a love story. So there's a dating sim that offers to do nothing with you. So it, like, just texts you back and, like, sends you little pics and, like, stuff like that. But it's recently started a partnership with La Mer so you can buy skincare products, like, through your fake boyfriend.
That's literally a Tamagotchi, though, isn't it?
Well, maybe just girls want a Tamagotchi, whereas boys want, like, a doll they can fucking tear dies. Literally, though.
One of the things as well that from the, like, manifesto of Orifice that really stuck it out to me was, like, the person who wrote it, really, like, says, like, human woman, like, a few times. And then, like, I went on a couple of the, like, AI dating websites, like, where you can get, like, your AI online girlfriend sans the fucking fleshlight bit. You can just be really horrible to an AI robot. And, like, one page of it is all, like, white and Asian women, and they've all got, like, obviously massive jugs, but some of them have absolutely no jugs, which is usually, like, one or the other for fucking people who are into this shit. And then you click on another tab, and it's all, like, anime girls.
Yeah.
And I was like, that really, like, starts to, like, enter the... And loads of the anime girls were pregnant. And I was like, this really just starts to enter the world of, like, kink almost. Like, and then when you flick back to, like, the page where it's just, like, very normal-looking women or, like, maybe, like, slightly extremely bodified normal women. Body, yaddy, yaddy, yaddy. Women. Like, it just blurs the line of what is fetish content and what are, like, genuine women, like, purposeful for in, like, relationships and sex.
But that's interesting as well because we see this echoed in real life so much as well. Like, when me and Ethan did that podcast episode on, like, is it fetish content or is it just, like, weird... What was that? Core content or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's a part in the Heather Parry book that says it's not difficult to see the term obeyed here and draw a straight line between this and the current push towards traditional marriages and gender roles, which is playing out so perplexingly on social media. The hashtag TrabWife, which encompasses a multitude of videos calling for explicitly submissive female roles and defense to husbands, has over 300 million. I can't read that number.
That's so... Sorry, were you still making your point?
Yes.
Sorry.
So, and my point is that there have been loads of arguments on Twitter of people saying these trad influencers are not actually trying to influence women. It's fetish content.
That also really ties into what you said about it being like gamification.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you said like we don't really see it, the traditional, you get the wife, then you get the baby, you have the house, you get the dog, and you've completed the game. It's turned into a sex thing.
Yeah.
But then the trad wife movement is that gamification as well.
Yeah, 100% is.
Wow.
But the problem is that, like, now trad wives are working on two ends of the spectrum. So they're working on the, like, fetish side for men And then for other women, they're working on the lifestyle side. So it's like an incredible grift because you can sell like a magic mixer while also making loads of money on OnlyFans.
The possibilities are endless. Maybe I'll be
Maybe we should all be trouble.
That's the takeaway of the episode. Goodbye.
But it's true because if we're talking about gamification and like online identities and how these feed into like a virtual AI girlfriends, it's like part of this that gets like swept under the rug about TikTok like identities is that a lot of these people are trying to gear towards desirability towards men, whether that is through like a profitable end or through like an end of wanting a husband, a partner, blah 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 blah. So there's this thing which I don't know is just like incredibly misogynistic to say, but where women are also playing into these things and like gamifying their own lifestyles, really narrowing it down to this like patriarchal view of womanhood, so then they are seen as more desirable on either end of the spectrum. And like I'm saying this as a high femme, like I'm not going to be like grow out your mustache or whatever, I mean do what you want, that's fine, but I think it's important to be like acutely aware of how these things play into each other.
Yeah, definitely, like there isn't really one without the other, or like you'll end up at one end of the spectrum and can very easily slip to the other one.
Yeah, like nothing exists in what's it called,
isolation.
Yeah,
I also, when I was reading through this research and this and the human woman thing leapt out to me, I was like, this, if we allow this to happen, if this like gets like just signed off as normal in society, it's just going to lead to like much darker shit where people are like, oh, AI animals that you can fuck for like the bestiality people so they don't do it in real life. Do you know what I mean? And like other things. Like when I was looking at like the pregnant like anime girls that you could...
The furries are going to have a field day with this one.
The furries are going to have a field day. And then even like darker shit, and then like if you start relating it to kink and stuff, like I could just really easily see like this being like led into a kink shaming debate and being like, you should 100%. Allow it.
Like you can see such an argument to be made for like, well, let men do this to AIs because that means they won't be doing it to women.
And that's this what people used to say about sex workers, and it's fucked to say that about that. And there's a really good bit of the research about sex workers as well, and Meta. So Meta, let me find the title of the thing before I go into it. So ads for explicit AI girlfriends are swarming Facebook and Instagram by Lydia Morris for Wired. And it's talking about this, like, you might have seen it on Facebook and Instagram. I haven't because I've got a really perfect algorithm that only shows me feminism, feminist t-shirts. But there's loads of ads for like AI girlfriend, companion girlfriend apps that are really sexually explicit. So it's kind of like the next level of like, hot milfs in your area want to show you their pussy. It's like the next level of that being like, what if you had a girlfriend? Who would show you her pussy. Mm-hmm. But also you get to choose if she has blonde hair or not. Or it's your stepmom, or it's like your cousin, or it's like the hot girl that you went to school with. And these ads are like everywhere and they're like highly, highly sexual. And then what's happening is that notoriously, and I think it's been spoken about on the pod before, it's definitely been spoken about on the site before, that Meta, who own Facebook and Instagram, are so harsh on sex workers on their platforms. Like they're always getting deplatformed. They're always being told like, oh, you're allowed to show this, and then being like, have their accounts deleted, banned or restricted because of it, let alone shadow banned. Like you're automatically shadow banned if you're a sex worker. So they're complaining, being like, well, why are all these ads allowed to run that are so way more sexually explicit than anything I would ever share? And then me, an actual human person, isn't allowed to be on there to promote my business.
Also, Siham pulled out a point from the research, which is basically saying that we're going back to like, which we spoke about in the Internet is Shit Now episode, like we're going back to the era of like, I mean, the internet's never really changed. Maybe I'm just on like fucking tapped websites, but I swear Google ads are always feeding me like hot girls in your area.
No, yeah.
Obviously, same. That has like been infiltrated so much more with Twitter, and like Twitter has always been quite a lenient platform in terms of like sex workers can operate there quite freely. But now every pussy link in bio is going to be an AI.
Yeah, well, I think that is. And it's also, I follow a few sex workers on Twitter and they were like, it's really damaging us because people are automatically assuming you're a sex bot. Mm-hmm. When you're trying to like advertise your business or even just vent about your day, or like you're just replying to someone who you likes comment. And obviously like Twitter really benefits you algorithmically if you have in like your name on there, like your business or something like that. So like loads of sex workers will have like top 0.1% of OnlyFans as part of their name. And then she was saying that, I can't remember who it was, I'm really sorry, was saying like, I'm replying to stuff and then people are replying to me being like, sex bot in your comments. And she's like, I'm just trying to have like actual interactions while also being a sex worker. And like, it's just not really like factored in how much this actually affects that community.
And you can also see a future so clearly when this is when this is all eventually banned from all platforms, which it will be,
which it should
that
be.
It just leads to like such a deeply like SWERFY, which stands for sex worker exclusionary radical feminist, like point of view. Do you know what I mean? Like this will just eventually feed into more sex work, anti-sex work rhetoric.
Such like a shame, because it's just, why are we punishing women for robots existing?
Yeah, that men have made.
Exactly. Which is the point of it.
Like,
to punish women.
Oh, but did you see that thing as well? Like, no, actually, maybe this is not relevant. But it's like, I think it'll be interesting if we see women and marginalised people using these tools. Like, for example, I know there's like a whole part of OnlyFans where women are using ChatGPT to have their conversations with the men. Like, yeah, it's like, fair enough. Like,
why wouldn't it?
Exactly.
So that's what you said. Like, we have to take these tools and be like, we'll use them for our own benefit then.
And with that, I think we're time up.
I bid you adieu.
Thank you, Gina, for all your incredibly insightful points.
Thank you,
Ayoli. Your passion and your vigour.
For all your beautiful, incredible, insightful points as well. Siham, for all of the research and for being our
sound tech today.
We got new microphones.
Yeah, we did. Wow. We're trying to improve our sound, we promise.
Please, please, please tell us if you like it. And also, don't tell us if you don't. Don't want to know.
We'll see you next week.
Bye. Thank you, Olivia.
Thank you, Olivia. We love you. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.